All right, well, let's read Galatians 5, 1 through 6. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love." Now, what's happening here is Paul is attacking the false doctrines that the Galatians have been succumbing to. And in these verses, he continues to contrast the two religions that are in the world. There are only two types of religions in the world. The first type is all of the religions except Christianity, and it is a religion of human effort. In other words, we're working to merit divine acceptance and blessing. Everything is based on our work for God. The only other alternative is Christianity, and it stands by itself as a faith-based religion. We could say it is based on divine achievement. Everything is based on God's work for man, and acceptance is granted as a gift to those who believe. Now, last week we looked at Christian freedom that Christ died to give us. We'll continue on with that thought in verse 1 here, and then we'll move on and we'll look at what happens if we don't choose that Christian freedom, if we don't stand against legalism. And when I'm talking about legalism, we're simply talking about any kind of approach to God that is based on our works, whether it's the law in the Old Testament or it's some standard that's placed upon you, where I'm saying that God accepts me because of what I do. God accepts me because I'm going to pray an hour a day and read five chapters of the Bible a day, and church membership will make God accept me, and I'm tithing, that'll make God accept me, and service makes God accept me. See, that's legalism. God doesn't accept us because of that. God accepts us on the basis of what His Son did alone, and placing our faith in that. Now, after we've placed our faith in Christ and we fall in love with God and we're so stunned by how accepting He is, yes, we'll serve and yes, we'll obey and yes, we'll read the Bible and pray. But that all comes out of that motivation of love. That's the right motivation, because we're so stunned by how good He is. We're not trying to serve. We're not trying to obey. We're not trying to do all those things so that He'll accept us. We're doing all those things because we are accepted and we're amazed by that. We fall in love with Him because of that. Well, in verse 1, Paul says that we are to stand firm against legalism. Standing firm against legalism. Galatians 5, 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Christ has set us free so that we can truly enjoy spiritual freedom. That bold access to God where we confidently go to Him knowing we are accepted. And it's based on the perfect Word of God, and we're not shut out because of who we are. See, when we're legalistic, we get shut out all the time from the presence of God because we understand who we are all too well. And we understand we're not living up to the standards. We have too much imperfection in us. But to enjoy spiritual freedom here, it says we're going to have to get tough on legalism. We're going to have to get tough on those who want to bring us under a system of works, who want to say, no, it's faith in Christ plus. If you want to be accepted by God, it's faith in Christ plus this, plus this. And they've got their whole list of regulations and rules. And the minute you add that plus, you know what starts happening? You start getting shut out from the presence of God. Why? Because that plus, whatever it is, you're going to be inconsistent. You're never going to be perfect. And so if you think it's faith in Christ plus this, every time you fail at that plus, which is going to be a lot, you're going to feel like God is angry with you, upset, and you feel shut out from His presence. You're going to have to get tough with yourselves, because you know what? We are so ready to embrace legalism. We're so ready to embrace salvation by works. Why? Because that's the way we were raised. As Americans, we were raised with the thought there's no free lunch. You get what you work for. And it is just so hard to grasp that Christ has done it all, and He has earned our blessings. He has earned our acceptance, that it's not based on what I do for God. It's based on what God has done for me through His Son. I can't tell you how many times I've had Christians come up to me and say, That is so hard to believe. Yes, it is, because it runs contrary to how we naturally think. But that is how the Bible works. It is by grace. We are saved by grace. What does Ephesians say? Saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. What is grace? Unmerited favor, right? Unmerited favor. Who gets the glory when the blessings come, when God accepts us and embraces us and loves us through grace, unmerited favor? God gets the glory. Who gets the glory if God is blessing us and loving us and accepting us because of what we've done? We get the glory. And God is not going to let us have the glory. He is going to get the glory in this thing. So we're going to have to get tough on legalism if we want to walk in freedom. It's going to take a firm stand against legalism to keep it out of our thinking, to keep our eyes on Christ and what He's done, His finished work for us, and to rest in that and to truly believe that God accepts that and that He applies that to us and says, I will look at you through the basis of what my Son has done. Now, to help us get firm with legalism, Paul gives us five tragic results if we don't. And he is really working hard to bring these Galatians back into a place of freedom and enjoying God, because they'd lost all of that. They had embraced legalism. And the first thing you do when you embrace legalism is you lose your joy. You lose your peace. And so that's what is happening here in Galatia. And so Paul is working very hard to bring them back to that place of freedom in Christ. And so he gives us five tragic results of legalism if we don't fight it and we embrace it. Let's look at that. The tragic results of legalism. Now, before we get into it, the issue in Galatia revolved around circumcision. We don't have that problem anymore, but you've got to see that circumcision meant much more than just a minor operation here in Galatia. Paul mentions it three times in six verses. And the false teachers were telling the Galatians that you need to be circumcised to be saved. Now, we can look at that and say, you know what? What's the big deal? It's a minor operation. So what? But it was much more than that to these false teachers. And it meant much more to embrace circumcision. We could say it wasn't just a minor operation. It was really a theological symbol that if you embrace circumcision, that if you allowed yourself to come under that ceremony, be circumcised, it meant that you were embracing the whole Old Testament law. In Acts 15:1, we see this. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Then Acts 15:5, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. So see that? When they're saying you have to be circumcised, basically what they were saying is that you have to obey the whole law. It was a salvation by good works rather than simply by faith. Jack Hunter said this, in the Galatian situation, circumcision to Paul was not a surgical operation, nor merely a religious observance. It represented a system of salvation by good works. It declared a gospel of human effort apart from divine grace. It was law supplanting grace, Moses supplanting Christ, for to add to Christ was to take from Christ. Christ supplemented was Christ supplanted. Christ is the only Savior, solitary and exclusive. The only Savior, solitary and exclusive. And the minute you start adding works into that, you're messing it all up. You're destroying salvation by faith alone. So Paul now tells them the cost of doing this. And the first thing he says, if you want to embrace this legalistic system where you're now going to approach God through your own works rather than simply by faith in Christ and what He has done, he says the first thing you're going to experience is this. You can expect it to be a crushing experience. A crushing experience. Have any of you ever walked in legalism? It is a crushing experience. I've got a lot of people now nodding their head. You know, it's a crushing experience. Look at Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1 in the NIV says, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, burden is a picture of an ox bowed down under a crushing load. And Paul says that's exactly what happens when you become legalistic. What happens is when we base our acceptance from God through our own works and our own performance, it's just going to crush us. Because we fail so regularly in our actions and in our attitudes. We're so inconsistent, we end up crushed under what? A sense of guilt and condemnation. Crushed under this desire to want to be able to get to God and enjoy Him as Father. But I don't think I can because I look at my life and I see how much I fail. How can He love somebody like me? So we lose the joy of walking with God. We lose the joy of the thrill of having Him as our accepting, loving, gracious Father. But you know what? Jesus has put a different yoke on us. Not a yoke of slavery that's a burden that crushes us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Not a crushing, you'll find rest. "For my yoke is easy and my load is light." When we go to Christ by faith, He takes off that legalistic yoke that's crushing us. That yoke of condemnation because we never live up to the standard legalism expects. That yoke of failure because we feel like a failure under legalism. I just never live like I want to. I just know that God looks at me and thinks, what is wrong with him? Why can't he just get it together? And we talk to ourselves. I remember preaching to myself, just get it together, Bill. Just get it together. Be a better Christian. And what do? We've talked about this many times, but since we have so many new people here tonight, what do we do when we're walking in legalism like that? We start making promises, don't we? God, I promise you, I'll try harder. I'll pray more. I'll read more. I'll serve more. I'll give more. God, just, I promise, God, I'll try harder. And we think if we can just make those promises that He'll finally accept us and finally love us. And we find out that the more we promise, the more we ramp up how much we're going to do, the more we fail. And just we start this cycle of condemnation and guilt and promising, God, I'll try harder again. I'm so sorry. Listen, Jesus has put a new yoke upon us, fashioned by God, where we find rest for our souls. Why? Because it is based on the finished work of Christ. It's not based on me getting on that works treadmill and turning it up higher and higher and higher, trying to run faster and faster and faster to please a God I can't please. It's based on the finished work of Christ that God accepts on my behalf, applies to my life, says, I'll look at you through there. So God is already pleased. Do you realize that? When God looks at your life, He's pleased because He sees you in Christ. He doesn't see, Bill Foot failure, Bill Foot sinner. He sees Bill Foot in Christ, righteous and perfect. Praise God for that. That means I can go to Him and love Him. His yoke doesn't crush us because it's easy and light. It's based on grace. My acceptance and my blessing, my security is based on what He's done, not on what I'm doing. If you want to go back under a system of trying to earn God's acceptance through your own works, then prepare to be crushed. That's what Paul's saying to these Galatians. Prepare to be crushed. You're living a crushed experience right now. You're going to continue that until you get rid of this legalism. How much better to go to Christ and allow Him to slip His yoke back upon you and rest in His finished work, trusting that God accepts you because of that. Secondly, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Here's an interesting one. Look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, remember that circumcision represents any kind of legal system where we approach God through that, through our own performance. Paul says, behold, in other words, listen up. This is important. You put yourself back under a system of works rather than faith. Christ's work loses its benefit in your life. NIV says it is of no value. Now, you may still be saved, right? But that work of Christ that is meant to bring life into your life, bring satisfaction into your life, bring joy into your life, it's all ruined. John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. But legalism steals that abundant life that Jesus wants to give you. That life filled with joy and peace, thrilled by Almighty God. Legalism steals that. You live a life of crushing and not abundance. You live a life, like I said before, open to so much guilt and condemnation. You lose God's joy and His peace and His presence. When you base His blessings upon your performance rather than Christ, you stop expecting anything from God. You notice that? Listen, when I get my eyes back on myself and start looking at my own performance, I don't expect anything from God. I don't anticipate anything from Him. But when I have my eyes on Christ and I am walking in grace and saying, God, You accept me because of Jesus and His perfection, I anticipate God's touch in my life. It opens me up to that, doesn't it? It opens me up to anticipating His blessing in my life. Because now it's based on what Christ has done, and Christ has earned all of that. But when I look at me, I think, why should God bless me? Why should I expect anything from God? Look at the way I am. So inconsistent. Legalism makes all this wonderful work of Christ on your behalf of little benefit to you. You don't enjoy your acceptance. You don't anticipate the touch of your loving Father. You lose the thrill of walking with God. And Paul says, stand firm against that. Fix your eyes on Christ and His finished work for you. Why? Because God the Father has fixed His eyes on Christ and His finished work for you. So you should fix your eyes on that also. Third thing, this one's interesting. You must see what it's saying here. The next one is, you become obligated to the whole law. In other words, you want to approach God and say, I'm going to earn my own blessings. I'm going to earn my salvation. I'm going to earn my acceptance. I'm going to earn this through what I do. Well, Paul says, you better think that one through. Because here is the standard for earning God's acceptance through your own efforts. Look at verse 3. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. In other words, you can't just pick and choose what you want to do. I'm going to earn God's acceptance. So, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And I've got about three or four things here. Paul says, no, if you want to earn God's acceptance and His blessing through your own performance, then go ahead and pick up the whole law and keep it all. Listen, it takes keeping it all. That's righteousness, 100% compliance to God's law. But you know what? Listen to this. That's exactly what Jesus did to earn your acceptance and your blessings, isn't it? He kept the whole law without failure, 100% compliance. And God transfers that performance to you. That's incredible. And He says to me, He says, Bill, you know what? I'm going to accept what Jesus did for you. Jesus came to earth. He lived 33 years and He kept the law. 100% perfection, never failed once. And Bill, I'm going to give that to you. His performance, His obedience to the law, His perfection. Bill, I'm going to look at you through that. Well, that is good news. If you want to earn God's acceptance and blessing through your own work, like I said, just take out the Old Testament law, obey it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Then and only then can you earn favor with God through your effort. James 2:10 says this, the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's law. Now, do you see why that can only lead to condemnation and guilt? That can't do anything else but make you feel guilty and miserable and make you walking around thinking, what a wretch I am. Why would God love somebody like me? But as soon as I think, you know what, Jesus kept that law for me and God looks at me through that, through the perfection of His Son, then I can just say, God, now I can see why You would bless me. Now I can anticipate Your touch on my life because it's based on what Christ has done. So if you can't do that, if you can't keep the law, all of it perfectly, I suggest you choose grace, unmerited favor, and stop trying to earn what Christ has already earned for you. The next one, fourth one, is you become alienated from Christ and have fallen from the principle of grace. Look at verse 4. He says, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Now, here's a check to see if you're truly saved. Because I believe Paul knows he's talking to a lot of people who profess to be believers, but they're not. And so first part I want to kind of look at here is what Paul is saying to the unbeliever. The problem is they're seeking to be right with God through the law, not faith in Christ. And Paul is telling them that you cannot have two saviors. You must choose Christ or you must choose the law. The law is not going to save you, but don't try to put them both together. It's one or the other, and only Christ can get you into heaven. So choose Christ. But he says, but if they choose the law, they are severed from Christ. In other words, to choose the law is to reject Christ. To choose a salvation by works is to reject Christ. To choose the law is to reject grace as the principle of salvation. Law is earning your salvation. Grace is salvation given to those who can earn it. That's how we come into the faith, isn't it? We come into the kingdom by saying, God, listen, I'm a sinner and I'm in trouble. And I know that I can't do anything to save myself. I cast myself upon you and your mercy and your compassion and your grace. Save me, God. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Like the tax collector in Luke, right? All he could say was, the Pharisee was over there. Remember in the temple, the Pharisee's over there saying, God, I tithe and I do this and I do that. Aren't you lucky to have me? Jesus said he went home unjustified. But that tax collector is there saying, God, I have nothing to offer you. I'm a sinner. God, have mercy. God, I need grace. So that's how we come into the kingdom, isn't it? Humbly, bowing. I need grace. I need help. I'm in trouble here. Please have mercy on me, a sinner. Therefore, Paul is saying to this first group, the unbelievers, they can't be saved. They're trying to enter God's kingdom through a way God won't accept, through works. Nobody will get to heaven through their own works. And what a powerful message that is. What an important message that is today. When you look at all of the religions all over the world, how many people think that they are going to stand before God and be all right because they've served in church? They have a church membership. You know, they've tithed. They've had all kinds of kind acts, they believe, and they think God's going to look at their life and he's going to say, well, that's good enough. That's good enough. Paul warns us, your works won't get you into heaven. The only way into heaven is to believe in Jesus Christ. Faith alone. Only Jesus lived a life that met the requirements God demands for heaven. And the only way to get into heaven is to have his performance given to you. The only way to have that performance given to you is by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. The minute you do that, God says, all that Christ has done, I give to you. And I will view your life through that from now on. I will base my acceptance of you on that. But to the believer, that's for unbelievers. But I believe this can also speak to the Christian who slips back into legalism like the Galatians had done. Listen, to the believers, he says, you are alienated from Christ. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Doesn't mean you lose your relationship with Christ, but you step out of that sphere that Christ dwells in. That sphere of grace. Therefore, you step away from his blessing. You step away from his presence. You step away from enjoying him and enjoying his love. King James Version says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Isn't that interesting? You embrace legalism and Christ has become no effect in your life on a daily basis. You lose all that. He continues, you have fallen away from grace. Again, not from salvation, but from grace as the operative principle in your life. Simply enjoying the fact that God blesses those who don't deserve it. The Galatians left the grace system for the Mosaic law. They left being accepted unconditionally to try to earn everything. And Paul says, how foolish that is. How foolish to begin to work for something God has already given you. Get that? How foolish to start working for an acceptance that God has already granted you in Christ. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to bring yourself back under the crushing load of the law, of a work system that can only condemn you and only make you feel guilty when you can just go to God and enjoy him because of what his son has done? How foolish to step out of the realm Christ dwells in, to step away from grace as a principle, to begin to live your life in your own power and try to earn what God has already given you. The last one. Last tragic result of legalism. We lose our hope of righteousness. Look at verse 5. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. So it's waiting for the hope of righteousness. He's talking about that ultimate experience of righteousness when Christ comes back and gets us. Christians, by faith, eagerly await the return of Christ, don't we? I mean, I can't wait. The older I get, the more I look at this world, I'm just saying, Lord, come now. Okay, right now. Darn. Right now. You know what I mean? At that time, when he comes back, we will experience that ultimate experience of righteousness. the ultimate expression. We're righteous right now in a legal sense. That's our standing before God. I am righteous before God in the righteousness of Christ, and God accepts me because of that, and that will get me into heaven. But because I'm a new creation in Christ, I don't want to struggle with sin. I'm righteous in Christ, but I still struggle, and I don't want to. You know what I mean? I want to be holy. I want to be holy, and I eagerly look forward to that day when I will be as righteous in my living as I am in my standing. I'm looking forward to when the fight is over, to when I'm just in glory with Jesus, and I'm not fighting anymore for holiness. It's just natural. Bring it on. Look at what it says here. He says, it is by faith, not works, that we wait for this righteousness. We don't anxiously strive for it, trying to secure it by what we do. We place our faith in Christ, then rest, knowing that He will finish the work He's begun. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. Because it's based on His work, we wait confidently, don't we? Hope. In the New Testament, it means confident expectation. So because I know that I'm saved because of Jesus' work, and that it's a finished work, and it's a perfect work, I can have that confident expectation that Jesus is going to come back and get me, and I'm going to experience that ultimate expression of righteousness. But the legalist loses this confident expectation. The legalist can't eagerly wait for Jesus. You know why? Because he's not so confident that he will be all right. And those of you who shook their head when I said, have you ever been legalistic? You know what I'm talking about. I remember that. When I was first born again, it was during the heyday of Calvary Chapel when the rapture was going to happen every other second. If you remember those days. And they talk about Jesus coming back. I remember thinking, not yet, Lord. Not yet. I don't think I'm ready. Give me a few more years to get my act cleaned up so I'll be ready. So I'll be 5 years. I always remember, you know, when you're a brand new Christian, it's like you look at somebody who's been in the Lord 5 years and you think, oh, they've got it made. They really know how to walk with the Lord. Then you get to 5 years and you're looking at people with 10 years and you're going, yes, they know what they're doing. 10 years, you look at people 20 years. Eventually you finally get it that none of us have this thing wired. None of us know what we're doing. Right? I mean, am I right? We're all struggling. You know, none of us are perfect. And that's why we need to base our acceptance on God through the perfect work of Jesus Christ, because we're all pretty clueless. I've said this many times, but sometimes I look at my performance and it is absolutely pathetic. And I think, man, Bill, what is wrong with you? 30 something years in the Lord and you can't do better than that. And then I think, oh, I'm so glad that it's based on Jesus' work and not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Because if it was based on my work, I don't have a chance. If it was based on my performance, no way. It was based on His. And that's why I can run into God's presence and enjoy Him and know that He loves me. Because He's not looking at Billfoot failure. I see Billfoot failure too much of the time. But He doesn't look at me that way. Those trusting in Christ's work alone, listen, they can look forward to Jesus coming back. In Philippians, Paul, after speaking about casting off any confidence in his own merit and trusting in Christ alone for the righteousness he needed to get into heaven, he says this. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See that? He has cast off all confidence in himself. Says, I count that stuff as rubbish. All of my good works. He says, now I cling to Christ, trusting in His righteousness. And then he rejoices about being a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. Why? Because I've earned that citizenship? No, because it's been granted to me as a free gift the moment I trusted in the work of Christ. That means John 14:1-3 becomes true of me. John 14:1-3 says, don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. I read that when I was legalistic and went, I hope I can make it. I hope I'll be all right. I read it now, living under grace, and I think, oh, bring it on, Jesus. Come back and get me. Take me to that dwelling place you've prepared for me. I can't wait to be with you. It's all based on what he's done now. Look at verse 6. Paul closes it up here, gets right to the point at the end of verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. The legalists were saying it must be circumcised to be saved. Paul clarifies this. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. When a person is in Christ, nothing more is necessary. Those kind of external things doesn't matter. Your works cannot improve your standing with Christ at all. You cannot add to what Christ has done. Do you realize that? Your acceptance, I mean, you can work and you can serve and you can give and you can do all those things, you know, and which we should be doing, right? We should have good works. We should be serving. All those things are great things. But do you realize that they won't add anything to your acceptance with God? You're accepted by faith alone in Christ alone. All those other things, then, like I said, spring out of the love we have for him because we are so stunned by grace, so thrilled by him. Now, what is the balance then? Let's look at this. Does that mean I can live any way I please, Bill? No. Is the Christian life so much about faith that works have no part? Well, no. Notice Paul's wording in verse 5. For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. The life of faith brings us into an intimate relationship with God through the Spirit there. Couldn't be more intimate. The Spirit takes up residence in our life. Well, what does the Spirit do when he takes up residence? Look at verse 6. Here's one of the things he does. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working, there's works, working through love. He will produce good works of love. Faith is the entry point, isn't it? We are saved by faith in Christ plus nothing else. But faith in Christ alone does not remain alone. That's an old reformer saying. Faith in Christ alone does not remain alone. It brings you into contact with the living God, and the living God changes you. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In that new life, empowered by the Spirit, you're going to live differently, aren't you? Not to make God accept you. Listen, it's never to make God accept you. All of that happens after God has already accepted you and you're already secure in Christ. Right? He changes you and you begin to change. You live differently, though, because you are different. It's that simple, isn't it? When we become Christians, we're new creations. We live differently because we are different. God has done that by grace. And the result of that is things like holiness and obedience and good works of love. See, this is why there must be a change when we are saved, because of who we become when we're saved, because of who moves into our life when we're saved, the Holy Spirit, and because of the union we're brought into. We're brought into a union with Christ, and all of that means a different lifestyle. So, what is the balance then? We are saved by faith alone. There will be works after that, that flow out of our love for God. But here's the thing we always have to remember. We're not perfect yet, right? So we're all still struggling with sin, even though we're not the same as we were. We have this mixture of growing in holiness and failing still. But here's the thing. We've got to realize the failure does not affect our standing with God. He still accepts us because we are accepted on the basis of what his Son has done. We are still loved. We are still accepted. We're still his precious children. You just got to realize that. When we're saved, we change. But when we're saved, we won't see perfection. We'll see perfection in glory. But in the times of imperfection, what are you going to do with that? You retreat back to the truth. We are saved by the work of Christ. It was perfect. God sees that. And what that allows me to do, we talked about this morning. What that allows me to do is that allows me to get up from failure and say, thank you, God, that I'm still your child. Thank you, God, that you still accept me. Thank you, God, that you still love me. Thank you, God, that you're not angry at me. Thank you, God, that I can walk with you still. See, we don't have to be crushed and paralyzed when we fail. We confess our sin, and then we look to Jesus again and say, thank you so much for what you've done. I am so grateful that I'm still accepted and still loved. And we move on again. Here is great comfort for saints like us who still struggle. Must there be change when you're saved? Absolutely. Because you're changed. When you struggle, are you still accepted? Absolutely. Because of what Christ has done. And God accepts that. Great comfort for saints like us. So what have we seen? There is a great price to legalism. You exchange the light and easy yoke of Christ for a crushing burden. You exchange the value of Christ's work that is meant to give us a spiritually rich experience for a dried up wilderness experience where there's no joy, no peace, no rest. You become obligated to keeping the whole law to be blessed, and you can't do it, so you live under a sense of condemnation and guilt. You exchange the presence of Christ for distance. You forsake the principle of grace, unmerited favor, to jump on the performance treadmill and start trying to earn what you've already been given as a gift. You lose the assurance of your hope of righteousness because your assurance is based on you and your performance rather than on the perfection of Christ. And Paul is saying, don't put that yoke back on your neck. Walk in the freedom of Christ, where you are seeing everything run through Him and what He has done. That allows you to just fall in love with God, run into His presence and enjoy Him, not feeling like you're constantly being shut out from God's presence and God's love because you're not perfect. Like I said before, listen, none of us have this thing wired. None of us are perfect. And that's why we have to rest on the perfection of Christ and that God sees us in that. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you, Lord, for the perfection of Christ and His work, His finished work. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be released from this legalism, this works kind of approach to you that is so easy to embrace. God, help us to understand grace more. Help us to understand salvation by faith alone in Christ alone more. Help us to see how much you love us and accept us, how much you love being our Father and love us, love having us as your children. How you want us to be in your presence. You love it when we're in your presence. God, help us just to enjoy you, to live in our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.